Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. Well, it's been a fast-moving pace time. It's been very hot here in the United States, I tell ya. I think in Kentucky, there was a flood. They had some heavy rains, but while we're having temperatures ranging from 110, 105, 115, and very hot. But in Kentucky, they had rain that actually demolished or damaged homes. I saw on CNN and MSNBC homes floating, the whole house floating on the water. And people, the aged, were being rescued from their homes by the fire crews. Firefighters who went there to try and help the people. It's amazing how that in the same country, we are in the heat. And up there in Kentucky, it's raining like crazy. And a friend, a guy was telling me at work that it didn't rain for long. I think it rained for 30 minutes. They said the level of water was so high within that 30 minutes. And flooded the cities of Kentucky, and many people died. 25 people died, mind you. So keep in prayer for Kentucky. Keep in prayer for us here with the heat in Dallas, Texas. Otherwise, things are moving on. We are running, and God just nudged me and got me to about face and look at Lusaka, the capital city of Zambia, where we want to revamp our work. I've got students out there in Zambia who have been to our Bible school, getting in touch with them, those who are in Lusaka, to begin the pioneering work, because my wife and I, as the Lord opens doors, we come into Zambia to visit. And during our visit, I plan us being on television as I used to before. My son there, Derek, is going to arrange for me. And my daughter Maureen, they're going to book times for me on television and radio. And by God's grace, depending on how the Lord works, we're planning to have a seminar while I'm there in Zambia, while we are there. We will have a seminar maybe at the Pamozi Hotel, where I used to have seminars, or Lusaka Hotel, which I used to have seminars as well. I booked the Mlungushi Hall one time when we had Archbishop Peter Hossa. It's a huge hole there, but it will depend on what and how the Lord leads us. But mainly, we are revamping the work in Lusaka. When we had a crusade with Archbishop Ida Hossa, we opened a church in Lusaka. I used to fly from the Copper Belt to Lusaka to hold the services on Sundays. We met in a primary school there by the Kafue roundabout. Lusaka Primary School, I believe, and the work was moving on fine. But, you know, the continue, because Lusaka is 5 hours of driving from Luansha, where I was based, to get to Lusaka. Then flying was much quicker, because I'll be in Lusaka within 30 minutes. But then it was costly for me, and the time to split myself between these two assignments was very heavy. I had various pastors who helped me in the Lusaka project, but they didn't stabilize so well. So God is speaking to me to revamp that work. So whosoever wants to work with us in Lusaka, please contact me on my Facebook page, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba. Leave a message for me and say, hey, Bishop, I'd like to work with you. I know Sarah Mtete Bush of Nairobi, Kenya. She's a graduate of our Word of Life Bible College. She just sent me a message. She says, Bishop, you said you want people to work in Zambia. I would like to come and work in Zambia. So I've been arranging for Sarah, hooking her up with ministries. I asked my son if she can be there with him for a short time of assignment, maybe 3 months or whatever, help with their work. And then when we come, be in Lusaka, and maybe she can start pastoring that church in Lusaka, and we support her from here in the United States of America. There is a pastor, Pastor Evans, who is a pastor of my daughter Maureen. Pastor Evans has been very key to praying for our ministry here in the United States. And we're looking forward to visit his church when we visit Zambia by God's grace. I also plan to visit government officials as the Lord opens doors. We might pay Kenneth's call on the president as the Lord opens doors. You know, me, when I was in Zambia, they called me the Jesse Jackson of Africa, of Zambia, because I was always with the President Chiluba, visit him, talk about Christian issues that pertains to the government and country, how we can help. I was with the Vice President Godfrey Miyanda. I went to his office. We talked, chatted about strategy of ministry. And then I was with Mr. Gray Zulu before he passed, who was Vice President, or they called them Secretary General of UNIP, which is equivalent to a Vice President. We met Mr. Gray Zulu with Archbishop Idahosa. And we had a great time at his office there at Freedom House. I've been with the ambassador to Zambia from Kenya, Ambassador Luo. I went to his office as we were strategizing and planning with Richard Roberts to hold a crusade in Nairobi. I took tapes for him to send to President Moi at that time, who was president of Kenya. I've been to Nairobi, Kenya many times. Whenever I'm at the airport, I'll go to the VIP lounge. And there I'll meet some great dignitaries and would have a great time there. Bishop Tumisin of Nairobi used to welcome me, would pick me up from the airport. Because previously what I used to do when I fly into Nairobi, I'll book into a hotel in Nairobi, Kenya. But Bishop Tumisin, he said, no. Bishop, you don't need to book in a hotel. Come and stay with me and my family in my house. So he would pick me up from the airport and I would live with him in his house. And he would take me back to the airport when I'm flying out. Bishop Tumisin, I preached at his overnight meetings and I preached in his church. He has over like 3,000 members. I've got a big, huge church. When I was there, they were building a huge church. And so Bishop Tumisin is a dear friend of mine there in Nairobi. And so I met some, you know, men of God we worked together with. God opened doors for me. I was in Lubumbashi, Zaire, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I was with a pastor there and we had a great time of ministry. I preached in these revival meetings. God moved mightily, you know. Then I was in Gaborone in Botswana. I had outreach meetings with Pastor Mahome of Gaborone. At that time, I had a white lady, a friend, who had come from South Wales. And the husband allowed me to go with her to Gaborone. So we flew together with this lady. And she was speaking and I was preaching. She lived with Pastor Mahome's sister, who was a professor at the university in Gaborone. And we had a great time there, I'm telling you. God bless the students. I was training them. I told them, you know, I'm flying with this lady. I'm trying to remember her name now. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. And I told the students, you'll find us in Gaborone. So the students kind of found their way to get me in in Gaborone. Then I was in Zimbabwe, Harare. I was with Reinhard Bonnke when he dedicated his yellow tent. You know, Bonnke, we had to make our way to Harare, but he put us in a hotel. We at the Sheraton Hotel in Zimbabwe and attended the dedication of his yellow tent. It was a great time to be in Harare. I liked the city. It was a blessed time to be there. I remember we went by bus through Livingstone, was it? And through to the Harare. Also, dear friends, you know, I've really traveled and seen God's grace around the world. Been to Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. I've been to the Gabons. I've been in Libreville. And then I did my 2 years of Bible college studies in Nigeria with Archbishop Peter Hossa. And then God has opened doors for me. I traveled to Europe. I've been to London. I had ministry in London. I've been to South Wales. I've been to Cardiff. I've been to Port Talbot in South Wales with my friend Ernest Glaive. Then I've been to Sweden with my dear friend Lashkana. I preached in Vogoda, Kumla, Hene, Alingsås. God has blessed my work over there. It has been a tremendous blessing indeed. And I traveled here in America before the Lord brought me here. I crisscrossed this country, preached in New York, went to Atlanta, Georgia, St. Louis, Missouri. I traversed to many places here, to Washington, D.C., Maryland. I went to Florida. Traveled tremendously. But this time the Lord is saying, hey, get the work revived in Zambia. And so if you want to work with me and you want to be part and parcel of the work in Lusaka, leave me a note on my page, Facebook page, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba. Just say, hey, Bishop, I'd like to be part and parcel of your ministry, and I'm going to get in touch with you. Well, today I'd like to share on the miracles of God. I remember Oral Roberts, the father of Richard Roberts, whom I brought to Zambia, and we had crusades in Lusaka. Oral Roberts said, let me take a sip of this water here. Oral Roberts said he had a tag in his office, and you know, many on his television program says, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You know, that really stuck with me, that, you know, the God we serve is a God of miracles. And we must always be expectant. Expect a miracle. I want to share with you that, you know, God wants us to expect a miracle from him. He's a God of provision. He's a God of wonders. He has done many miracles for me, too many to, you know, itemize. But I would like us to look in the Word of God today, in the book of John, chapter number 2, and reading from verse 1 to 11. We want to look at the wedding in Cana. This was one of the first miracles that Jesus performed. Listen to the Word of the Lord. 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had given out or run out, Jesus' mother said to him, they are out of wine. Then, verse 4, you must not tell me what to do. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. Now, you see, Jesus attended this wedding. See, we as Christians, as children of God, where there is a celebration, we need to find ourselves there. And as we go there, we should be a blessing. You see, when Jesus went to this wedding in Cana of Galilee, he went with his mother and his disciples to be a blessing, you see. To be a blessing in the sense that at the wedding, they ran out of wine. But the amazing thing is what prompted his mother to think that his son, who had never performed a miracle before, can cause wine to come into this wedding feast. You see, the way we think about God and the level of our expectation will determine the level of our blessing. The mother of Jesus had never seen Jesus perform any miracle, but she believed in her son, that the son would bring this problem to an end. Whenever we are faced or encountered with a problem, we must have this positive thought that the God we serve is able to take us out of the dilemma. That the God we serve is able to perform even beyond our expectation. You see what I mean? When we trust God in whatsoever thing we are believing God for, he is going to move. Many times we are hindered in our progression because we don't trust God. You know, we have a brand new car and we were thinking, hey, how are we going to pay for this monthly payment of $800? But listen, as we committed God this in prayer, God performed a miracle. And it has been paid for. You understand me? The God we save is a God of wonders and miracles. That's the first thing you need to have registered in your medulla oblongata, like they say, in your brain. Jesus' mother had so much trust in us, in her son, that she knew that whatsoever she asked of him, he was going to perform. And she put pressure on the anointing of Jesus to do something. You see, when things are not moving, we need to put pressure on the anointing that's upon us to let God intervene. And so the disciple, Jesus told his mother, my time is not yet. You see, these events of life are all timed. There is a time to be born, a time to die, a time to sing, a time to cry, a time to dance, and a time to weep. But the most important thing is to discern your time. You see, the pressure from the mother of Jesus pushed Jesus into his time. Sometimes circumstances in life will push you into your time. Into your time to shine, into your time to see the power of God perform or manifest itself in your life. People, sometimes because of their criticism of you, people because of their underrating of the anointing or power of God in you, can push you into your time. Persecution from people can push you into your time. See, there are people, you know, like these young men with upcoming ministries, they look at the old guys and they think they can beat them at the ministry, or they can beat them in whatever they are doing, that they are much better than these men of God. And because of that, they push these old guys into their time of ministry, into their slot. Problems and circumstances will push you into your time. Problems and things that try to oppose you will push you into your miracle. You see, hadn't the wine run out, nobody would have seen the power of God. But because the wine ran out and the mother of Jesus put pressure on the Lord, there was a manifestation of the glory of God. You see that? And so we see here, Jesus' mother then told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. She had confidence that even though the son had said, my time is not yet, she had confidence that the son was going to do something about it. You see, many people trust in you. Many people will come to you. Even like Jesus said, my time is not yet. There are times when we are faced with circumstances and we think our time is not yet. People push you into a corner. And because of that pressure, you will seek the face of God for a miracle. And I can assure you, a miracle is going to take place. Jesus' mother said to the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, do it. How did he know that the son was going to tell the disciples what to do? She believed God. She trusted the son. Even us, my friends, we need to trust God. We need to trust this invisible God of Israel, that whatever he tells us to do, we must do it. Now, instructions are going to come in your spirit. You see, me, I receive my instructions in my inner recesses of my spirit. The Lord will confirm with me what to do. God will amaze you of the things that he will do. There is nothing that is impossible with him. And so as we are planning to get into Zambia, we are going there believing that people are going to respond. We're going to reach into Zambia. We're going to bombard the airwaves. And we're going to see lives turned on to Jesus Christ. So be encouraged, my friend. Be part and parcel of what we are doing in Zambia. Join us. Give me a message. Say, hey, Bishop, I want to be part and parcel of reaching Zambia and turning it to you. You see what I'm saying? Turning Zambia to God, reaching out to the nation of Zambia. I used to do a lot of television in Zambia, radio broadcasts, our breakthrough. And we're going to go back now with an impact in Lusaka. My son has a church in Chingola, Derek, and he's going to be part and parcel of this big evangelism thrust for Lusaka. And so I encourage you, dear ones, wherever you are, hey, let's put pressure on the anointing and let's see things happen. New wine is coming to Zambia. So the Bible says in verse 6, the Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold between 20 and 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill these jars with water. They filled them to the brim, and then he told them, now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast. And they took the water and took him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tested it. Immediately, Jesus, whatsoever was there, he moved into action. There were jars empty from the ceremonial, like it says, the Jews had the rules about ritual washing, and there were these ceremonial jars there, you see, 6 stone water jars. You see, the miracle to thrust forward is within your reach. The miracle to do exploits is within you. You see, we have so much around us that we miss God and his miracles. The money is just around us. Jesus did not send to his disciples, hey, go to Jerusalem, go find out where they're selling wine. No, he didn't do that. Jesus didn't say, hey, can you go to, Gethsemane, whatever. Can you go to Nazareth and see if there's anybody selling wine at this time? No. Jesus immediately moved into action. Whether there was wine or no shop was selling wine, he was the maker of wine himself. You see, whenever a problem comes, whether you have money or you have no money or you have whatever it is, money will come. Whatever you need will come. Jesus saw these 6 empty jars, ceremonial jars, and said, fill them with water. Fill them with water. And the disciples filled them with water. And he said, take the glass and take it to the master of the feast. And they took the water. The disciples didn't say, no, hey, Lord, how can we take water to the master of the feast? He's going to, you know, we will be in trouble, man. This is water. No, they believed God. That the water itself, something was going to be, the Bible says the water turned into wine. You see, when miracles begin, it won't clearly show, the wine won't appear immediately. Things will be fuzzy. You think you're losing your home. You think you're losing your job. You think you're losing your life. You think you're going to go to jail. But God will acquit you, my friend. God will cancel things even before you see it. Believing in God for miracles is the key. You understand me? So whenever a situation is so bad and you have prayed and things get bad, move forward and expect a miracle. These guys, they dipped the jar, their glasses into these jars, and the water had become wine. And they had so much faith, they took the glass to the master of the feast, who drank it, and it was the best wine they ever drank. Let me tell you what, God is about the best. He's about to do the best thing you've ever seen. Just trust in him. He's about to give you that house. Just trust in him. He's about to give you that good job. Just trust him. When I lost my job, in a sense, they closed the stores where we were working. Man, I started just going at a city place preaching every day. I was just preaching like I'm doing. And I started applying for jobs. Guess what? Jobs were popping everywhere. Boom. They need me at Dollar General. Boom. They need me at Home Depot. They need me. Jobs were just popping up here and there. Why? Because I trusted in God. And I want you to know also, because you trust in God, your money to buy that brand new car is coming. Your money to invest in the business, whatever you want to do, is coming. The money to get your career thrust forward is coming. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the brother and sister who have been listening to this message so far. I pray that the hand of the Lord will be upon them and that they're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Let the blessings of Jesus be upon them. Let whatsoever they are expecting from you be done in their lives. Provide for them. Let them have new wine. Let them have a new miracle. Let them have new events. Let them have things happen to them that will change their lives forever. God works in silence. Sometimes we think God has left us, but he's working behind the curtains. And even now, God is working behind the curtains for you to provide a home for you, to provide a job for you, to provide a business for you. So in the name of Jesus, I say, be blessed and may the grace of the Lord and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you forever and ever. As you agreed to with me and said, amen. Amen. God bless you, my dear brother. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba and my wife, Tarina Mwamba, signing off here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. Talk to you again and bye-bye.